Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for all that took place with the police and the sheriff and the fire department here in Sydney. We pray that they would be continued, that they would sense your honor, Lord. Lord, we thank you for everyone here today. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. We give you praise, Lord, because you're doing a mighty work in all of us. And in these perilous times, we can look to you and be assured and have assurance and security in relationship with you. We thank you for it, and we're going to trust you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Now, so we talked about last week, we talked about how God, He calls us, right? And just like those four men. You know, when you don't understand who you are, see, that's where we're growing and understanding. We're increasing our understanding. That's this whole, if you want a series, if you will, increasing and understanding. We're understanding spiritually what's going on. So remember, last week we talked about in Jeremiah 1:5, it says God formed you. The word form means also fashioned. And that word form, here's what it means. God has put in you everything you need to be you and to fulfill God's will. It's already in you. Did you catch that? It's already in you. And then it says, He says, I knew you. See, this all happened before you were born. So all our excuses as to why we keep failing and why we can't get things done, it removes all those excuses. Because we're responsible. We're responsible. Because it doesn't matter what kind of parents you had. You see that? You can't blame your parents. You may have never known your parents. God knew you. He knew you before you were born. You see that? And so that's the good news of this gospel. So now look. He formed you. He knew you. And then what? He sanctified you. Remember sanctification? Remember what sanctification means? The etymology on that word goes, the history, is of the betrothal period when a woman was going to marry a king. And she had to learn how to eat. She had to learn how to walk. She had to learn how to talk. She had to learn how to dress. She had to learn the people where to go and the places, different places she went. Had to learn how to live all over again. But a lot of them would give it up and say, the king's not worth it. And they'd say, he's not worth it, and they'd quit. But you see, the ones that held in there, they got everything the king got. And so, you see that? They married the king. Jesus is the king. We're the bride. We are in our sanctification period. Jesus is coming. Are you with me? And so, that's the idea. But God sanctified us before we were born. And so God calls us into that, and now we're walking it out. You see that? We're walking it out. And then it says he ordained us in Jeremiah 1:5. He ordained us. Remember that word ordained means authorized. He's given you the authority to be you, to be who he puts you on this earth to be. You know, you need authority for that. Because before you were born again, unless you've been born again, you don't have the authority to be you. You have to live a lie. Because the devil's a liar. And until you're born again, you see that? You're under his authority. And when you're born again, you're born out of that and into a position of God's authority. Did you catch that? The Bible says the devil is a liar and the father of it. So the idea is, all lies, he's the father of them. And you're living a lie when you don't know who you are. Oh, that's good preaching already. Are you catching this? So when you're born again, now he's called you to who he created you to be. And so now you're receiving the word. It says, sanctify them with your word, for your word is truth. John 17, he calls you to that truth. Truth is reality. See, you were in a fantasy before, believing lies. Now when you're in the truth, you're out of that fantasy and you're becoming reality. You see, that's what the word truth means, reality. So we're walking this out, and that's what God calls us to, is reality. See, you can know who you are, your identity. You can understand who you are. But if you don't, you're subject to do anything and be anything and believe a lie that's really not who you are. Am I making sense? Now, I don't have to go on and on about, you can tell, you can understand. You've seen some of the court stuff going on with what's going on in some of the bathrooms in some of our schools. Am I making sense? Come on, am I making sense? I'm not even going to belabor that. There's a need for understanding who you are today. Am I making sense? All right. So, this is what Paul was saying in this portion of Scripture. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They were being persecuted, and Nero was persecuting Christians. They were being persecuted for their faith. You know what? You're gonna be persecuted for your faith, for what you believe. You're gonna feel uncomfortable at times because you just share what you know about yourself and about what God's calling you to. It's gonna make you're gonna put pressure on people because they don't understand who they are. And they'll be drinking Haterade, and you'll wonder, and if you don't understand, it'll cause you to be upset. But if you understand, they can have all the Haterade they want. You're going to be all right. And you can give them grace. See, the problem is when you start drinking the Haterade and you start hating on people, now you got a problem. That's a big problem. See that? Am I making sense? All right. Now look what he says. For in it, in what? The gospel. Give me verse 16, if you would, Tim. See, we have to believe in the finished work of Christ. Everything we need is, God's not going to move. Faith doesn't move God. Faith doesn't move God. Look at me. You know what moves God? Is what you believe. Wait, you believe? You have to believe in the finished work of Christ. God has already moved. He's already done everything he's going to do. You have to believe it. And when you believe it, you see, we sang in that song about a mountain and our faith. You know, the mountain's not the problem. But the mountain represents the problem. The problem is, do you believe? If you believe, the mountain's going to be moved. It's what you believe. Oh. Am I making sense? That's the way it is. Now listen to me. Paul's saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I mean, they're being persecuted everywhere. He's preaching. He's proclaiming. I'm not ashamed. You know why he said, I'm not ashamed? Shame is pride. Shame is pride. Shame is being over concerned about other people's opinion about you. You see that? When you're in Proverbs 11:2, it says, "By pride only comes shame." Shame always wants to hide something. Pride always is defending itself. You see, when you understand who you are, you don't have to defend yourself. God is your vindicator. God will take care of you because you trust God. You don't have to defend yourself all the time. Just do what he says and believe what he says about you. You see that? And you don't have to be ashamed. You know, when I was growing up, my mom was diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. I was ashamed. She would come home from a mental institution when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years old and walk around the block 50 to 100 times trying to deal with this malady, this ailment, this paranoia thing she had on her. And kids would drive by and throw things at her, call her crazy lady, and I would hear that and see that. I allowed them to make me ashamed of my own mother. You see that? And so what I did is I started drinking in sixth grade. I'm drinking in a shed across the street getting drunk to medicate the pain. You see this? That's what shame will do. It will cause you to do something that will destroy your life. And pride will cause you. See, if the devil can't reach you, can't get you into immorality, he will come at you through your insecurity. And where you're insecure, that's where he will destroy your life. He can't touch you, but he can cause you to believe something about yourself, and you'll be deceived, and you'll destroy yourself. Are you with me? So now think about this. Shame. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm here to tell you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because I know what he's brought me through. And I know all he's brought me through. I've been pastoring this church for 22 years. I've been through some things. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you with me? And I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel. This word gospel, you know what this word gospel means? Good news. But I want you to catch this. Jesus brought this word to us. They didn't even use this word until the New Testament. The gospel, the word gospel means too good to be true news. It's too good to be true. What do you mean too good to be true? They had not, they didn't use the word because there wasn't a time in history where there was anything too good to be true. You hearing me? So now they're using this word in the New Testament. Jesus shows up. God's plan of redemption. And the cross, he goes to the cross. Now there's good news. He's telling people there's good news of the kingdom of God. The gospel. All your sins, past, present, future, washed away by the blood of Christ. That's good news. I don't care where you came from. You see that? He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. So when you get into his position, now you're free to be you. And that's what he's calling you to. That's good news. I'm telling you. And you and me, we're to be God's representatives. Wherever we go. On our jobs, wherever we go. We are to represent Christ. And you know what? We're to have good news. We're to be good news bearers. Listen to me. When you watch the news and you sit around and you look at all the stuff floating on the Gulf and all the stuff, all the problems going on, and that's what you talk about, who's using you? Huh? The enemy's using you. That's you're bringing warfare into your own life and into your own house by what you're saying. You're bringing the warfare because you're supposed to be a good news bearer. See that? Come on, do you see that? You're supposed to be a minister of reconciliation. You and I are supposed to be good news bearers. We're supposed to share good news. We're supposed to have good news. And when you complain about your lot in life, who are you working with? Bubba breath. I am not going to complain about gas prices. I'm tired of hearing about gas prices. I don't care if it's $10 a gallon. I'm not going to complain. Listen to me. Because my tank will have enough gas to get me where I need to go. Because I trust God, and he says his riches are going to come towards me because I believe. Are you listening to me? He's got more than enough, more than I need, because I know who I am and where I'm going and what he's put me here for. When you understand that and you believe it, you know what? You don't have to tell people to tithe that understand and believe. It's a no-brainer. You just do it. Because that's your provision. People that are gifted singers and gifted in any area, you don't have to tell them to serve. They're going to jump in there and serve because they want to honor God with their gift. You don't have to tell people that understand who they are to serve in the church because they're going to get in there and serve because they know who they are. They know where they came from. They're going to honor God with all that God's given them. And God is going to take care of them. I don't care how much is floating out on the Gulf. I don't care what's going on in our government. We're under a whole nother government. We're under the kingdom of God. Am I making sense? Well, you look excited. I am. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. This is good news. Too good to be true news. We need to have that in our mouth. You know, some people are depressed you're working with. Some people are depressed in your family. Some people, they're depressed in this church. You should have some good news to pull that off of them. It says in Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes the heart glad. And a joyful heart does good like medicine. A good word can bring healing to a person's life because you're in a position to bring the good news. But you join in and you start complaining and murmuring and I'm just tired. You know, if you say I'm tired all the time, I'm too tired. You know why you're so tired? Because your faith is fatigued. If you're in the faith, you're going to feed your faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You're going to feed your faith. You're going to have energy. My goodness, when I'm in the will of God, I have energy. I have energy right now. I've been feeding my faith. Are you with me? When you feed your faith, you have energy. It calls you to a place where you won't go without it. I'm spitting a little bit. Huh? Jenna, you need to shut up over there. No, I'm just loving on you. You're getting me excited. Are you catching this? Are you catching this? Okay. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Do you believe I'm not ashamed of the gospel? Yes. Uh-oh. It's going to be all right. I'm just here to tell you. Now, let's look at this. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Look at, for it is the power of God to salvation. Now, look at that. The gospel, you know what the gospel is? It's the gospel of grace. That's the power of God to your salvation. Everybody say the gospel of grace. Go with me to Acts 20, verse 24. And look what Paul says. But none of these things move me. What things is he talking about? Shipwrecked, stoned, you know, rocks thrown at him, that's what I'm talking about. Stoned, beaten with rods, snake bitten, persecuted by people. All that. He said, none of these things moved me. You know what he's saying? None of those things moved him from his assignment. And his assignment to minister the gospel of grace. Are you catching this? None of those things. They shouldn't move us either. Are you with me? They shouldn't move us either. Your response is your responsibility. We have to grow and mature. If you don't grow and mature, your response will be immature. You will respond like a child. You'll whine and bellyache when somebody comes at you and says something wrong to you. You see that? That's why Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child, I spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And when I started to grow up, I no longer act and respond like I used to. And that's what he's saying to us. We're no longer, you know what? If you're always got marriage problems, how are you responding? If you have the same problem over and over, how are you responding? God's calling you to mature in some areas. Am I making sense? Am I making sense? If you've always got the same problem, God's calling you. Every answer, every insecurity, every issue you have, God has a wisdom attached to it. A wisdom. And that wisdom was established before you showed up on the planet. God has a wisdom, and if you get that wisdom, salvation comes in that area of your life. You see that? What's salvation mean? Deliverance, preservation, to be rescued, peace, to be made whole, security. You're secure in the things of God. But whoever listens to me, Proverbs 1:33, will dwell safely and be secure. You see, when you're secure, the enemy can't use your own insecurity to get you to be deceived because you're secure. He'll come with that mess and say, not today, big boy. I'm going to love this person in spite of how they're treating me. I'm going to give them grace. I'm going to give them kindness in spite of how they're treating me. You see that? The problem is when it gets in you. Their dysfunction, their bitterness, when that gets in you, then now you've got the problem. Remember, I always talk about this. In John 13, when Jesus was getting ready to break bread with the disciples, he looked at Judas. He says, go on and do what you have to do and do it quickly. In other words, betray me quickly. And you know, he continued to do what he did. And that, what, you know, what's that saying to you and me? I'm going to stay on my assignment. I'm going to stay on my mission. If you betray me, it's not going to get in me. It's not going to move me away from what God has called me to. Are you hearing me? That's the call of God on our life. That's the grace of God. You see that? That's the power of God. Now look at this. That's what Paul's talking about here. Now watch. Nor do I count, this word count means value, nor do I count or value my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with what? Joy. Joy. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the what? The gospel of the grace of God. You see that? The gospel is the gospel of the grace of God. You and I are to be testifying of the gospel of the grace of God in our family, on our jobs, wherever we go. Everywhere. You don't have to preach to everybody. You may not have to say anything. It's you, how you respond and act towards people who maybe are coming against you. You see that? Sometimes people will come at me and it's like, I didn't do nothing to them. And they're just being ornery. Is this making sense? I mean, but I love them anyways. Not in my own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. Am I making sense? Sometimes your own family will come at you. You're on the phone and they're telling you what for, and you haven't said, all you said, what? You're just saying, well, that doesn't bother me. Well, it bothers them, and they just want to dump everything. You know, you take the phone and, has that ever happened? Huh? That's never happened? It's like, all you're doing, they got some haterade going already. And all you do is tell them who you are. People get jealous. when you know who you are. People are insecure when you know who you are. It makes them insecure. It makes them nervous. You're too confident. But your confidence is not in who you are, it's in who God is. You see that? And it demonstrates security and confidence. You see that? Am I making sense? Now, it's the gospel of the grace of God. So here's what it is. You're supposed to be giving grace to everybody, right? You're to be giving grace when no matter, this is it. In Titus 2:11, it says, the grace of God that brings salvation has been given to us to teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this present evil age. See that? So we give grace, it brings the salvation to us. You see that? Remember I told you, God may not be using you on your job, but God may be using the people that are coming against you on your job to develop something in you. He's wanting you to give grace where you haven't given grace before. And that's development. See? Now, where you used to blow a gasket and get retaliate and want to get them told, you don't have to do that. You have grace. And now, don't bother you anymore. You don't take that home to the dinner table, and you don't take that home when you're laying your head down at night, because you have grace, and you've given them grace, and that produces peace in your life. Am I making sense? Tell you, this stuff makes me want to preach a little bit. Now stay with me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy. You know what? The Bible teaches us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you wonder why you feel depleted and discouraged all the time, you got to step it up in this grace area. Because if it takes your joy, if you're allowing them to give you a countenance, walking into work, and I got to go back in there again. You know, you see that? Who wants that? What are you representing? You're sure not representing Christ. Am I making sense? Come on, am I? Joy, we should have joy. It should show on our face. I can tell, I've told you before. I can tell by looking at a person's face where they are. That's all the more reason when you see them with that fallen countenance, you ought to have a good word for them. Or you ought to serve them. Start helping them do something. And then they'll question, what's up with you, big boy? They'll wonder what's going on with you. You're serving them and trying to help them, and nobody else does this, but why are you doing this? I've had people say, I ain't never had anybody treat me that way after they know how they've treated you. And then they end up coming to church and getting saved. Huh? You know why people don't want to go to church? Because they don't see it in you.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
I've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.